We're looking at chapter 11, a very significant and important passage from that letter. Living overseas has its joys. It also has significant pain at times. I think one of the toughest parts of being here is being so far away from there. And that impacts you, especially when you get a call like our family had this week. Last Saturday, we got a phone call about 2:30 in the afternoon from a dear friend in Toronto. And they said, "Dave, we've been trying to reach you for a week. What's wrong with your email?" Our email had been down for the week. "We just realized that we had your wrong phone number. We've been trying to get you all week." And I said, "Why?" They proceeded to tell me that a very, very, very dear friend of ours had died on Sunday. And I'm not sure if they wanted me to come back for the funeral, but it was obviously too late because the funeral was last Friday. We missed out on that whole grieving process with the family. We immediately called him, of course, and got up to speed. But I was thinking about Dale. Dale was like a brother to me, like a father or uncle to my children. We were very close. Dale contracted cancer a while back, and we knew it was at work in his system, but we had no idea he was going as quickly as he was. Neither did he. Last Saturday, he had extreme pain in his abdominal area. And Sunday, he was in heaven. You know, the body, when it starts to shut down, when something goes wrong with it, it isn't fun. When something is wrong with the body, if it's not corrected, it has a way of moving toward death. And that's less fun. God designed our bodies not to be sick and not to die. And not to have disease. God designed us for wholeness. Do you believe that? You see, the Bible makes it very clear that when sin entered the picture, that's when death and sickness and brokenness and all the things that come with it, that's when the human family and our environment and world went off center. But God didn't design it that way. God longs for His people to be whole. And someday, the Bible says, someday, when Jesus Christ wraps up this whole thing and does away with sin once and for all, there will be no more sickness and no more disease and no more dying, no more death, and therefore no more tears. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day. I can hardly wait. You know, I've never met a person yet in my life who really enjoys being sick. Now, it's possible to adjust to the place where we can accept it graciously and adapt to it, but nobody enjoys it. "Oh, let me please break my arm." You know? No, we don't want to be sick. Everybody I know who's sick wants to get better. We want to get healthy again because that's how God designed us. We don't enjoy having sickness or disease or brokenness in our body. Well, you know what? I want you to guess. There's somebody else who doesn't enjoy having a broken or a sick or a sickly or a dying body. You know who that is? Jesus. Jesus wants His body to be whole, healthy, complete, functioning, without sickness or disease or brokenness. That's how He wants His body to function. If you've ever seen a church that doesn't function that way, you know how awful it can be. Unfortunately, there are many churches that are ripped apart and destroyed from the inside, and the body is more like a twisted, mangling blob than it is a functioning body. Some churches are filled with pride and with gossip. Some of them are torn apart by cliques or prejudice or doctrinal fights, and on the list goes. If you've ever been part of a church like that, and I know some of you have, you know that it is not fun. You know that a church like that may continue to exist because some people are hanging on and propping it up, but I can guarantee you one thing, you don't have a lot of flood of people coming in saying, "Oh, I want to be part of this family." People stay away from that kind of church in droves. But when a church is functioning the way God designed it to function, when the body is healthy, when every part is doing its part, and the body is alive and well, you better believe the community around is going to say, I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of that body. Well, 1 Corinthians is a book that was written to a church that wasn't healthy. It was torn apart by various divisions and doctrinal problems and sexual problems and misunderstandings. There was a whole list of them. And so Paul wrote the book to the people and specifically addressed issue after issue after issue in order to clear it up. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't sidestep the issues? It doesn't gloss over and say everything's peachy keen, it's nice. No, it deals with the stuff. And just like we have to today, it deals with the issues. Paul addressed those issues in 1 Corinthians. When he got to chapter 11, he was dealing with what we know as the Lord's Supper. And basically what he was saying in there was, he was showing how that the body of Christ, which is broken for us, was specifically designed to prevent and fix the body of Christ being broken by us. You see, it's possible for us to be part of the process that diminishes or breaks or infuses sickness and death into the body of Christ. It was happening in Corinth, and so Paul addressed it head on. I'd like you to follow along as I read, or if you have your Bibles, take a look and listen to these words. And we'll pray that God, if there's any application for us today, will make it real to us. 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. But when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep," which really means death. "But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If you're hungry, if anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions." Lord Jesus, we ask that you would take these words of instruction originally sent to the Corinthian church and that you would make application as necessary to our hearts and to our fellowship here. We want to be whole. We want to be alive and well. We want Jesus to be glorified in this place. May that happen even this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When the Corinthian church celebrated communion, as we call it, or Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, or the Mass, depending on your tradition, when the Corinthian church celebrated this meal, it was in the context of what they called a love feast. Now, their context was very similar to ours in that it was in a very metropolitan area, cosmopolitan, kind of a crossroads for travel. So they had a lot of international people coming through. They had people from many different nations, people from many different economic strata, and they reflected much of what Mahdi Community Church would be like. And one of the things they did to pull together the body of Christ was they had potluck dinners. They didn't call it that. They called it love feasts. And the people would come together and they would all bring their food, they would pool it together, and they would eat together and enjoy the fellowship of God's people. It was a way of fellowship, it was a way of eating, it was a way of also helping out those particularly who didn't have. Because there were a lot of people, much like today, who were refugees, who were there without employment, who needed food, and it may have been the only good meal they had all week. And so people who had a lot would bring a lot, and people who had a little would bring a little, and those who had nothing would probably bring nothing. And then they pulled it together and they ate. Now, it started out as a great idea. And it started out pretty wonderful. People loved to serve and they loved to put some food in the mouth of the hungry person. And there was good fellowship. But over time, it kind of degenerated. It kind of wound down and it ended up being like some buffets that I've attended. Probably you have too. You know, where you watch people gorge themselves and other people at the end of the line don't get anything. Anybody ever been to one like that? I remember attending a buffet one time. This is back home. And, we were pinching pennies. And there was this specialty dish on the buffet table. I could hardly wait to get there. I mean, I hadn't tasted that I can't remember since when. Anyway, so I was looking forward to getting there and getting some of those in my plate. And anyway, we were making our way through the line. And I kind of noticed, I was always watching down to see how much of it was going. And there was a guy a few people ahead of me in the line. He got to that dish, and would you believe he just kept loading it on. He finished the plate! And I got there, and it was empty. I wanted some, so I was all drooling almost, you know, I wanted some of this. Anyway, I got there, and he had it all. And I watched, you know, I ate my meal, but I kind of every so often would look over there at this guy who would just be eating these, they were jumbo shrimp, if you have to know. And I was looking over and, you know, I was eating my mashed potatoes while he was sucking on a jumbo shrimp. And I didn't think it was fair. Anyway, this guy took too much food and he ended up leaving food on his plate. And he left some jumbo shrimp on his plate. I tell you, I was upset. I wasn't going to go over and take them, you know, but I was upset, I must confess to you. Now, if somebody had come after that meal and said, okay, it's time for worship. Let's get together and sing to the Lord. And it just turned out that that guy sat beside me. Do you think that I would have had a very enriching, wonderful encounter with God that morning? No. I would have been wanting to bop that guy in the nose. Dear friends, that was the context of this passage. The love feast had gotten out of whack. And people were gorging themselves. Others, it says, were actually getting drunk. Kind of slid from its purpose, don't you think? And other people were there and they didn't get any. And Paul wrote to address the issue. And he said that it was not just a problem of the distribution of food. Paul pointed out this had serious spiritual ramifications in their life. You see, it is impossible for us to worship the Lord in genuine heart-free worship and encounter Him genuinely if that kind of thing is going on the side, if it's around us. You can't. No more than I could worship with that guy sitting beside me until we get those things cleared up. Modern people, modern doctors, modern psychologists know that we are people who are intricately fashioned. We tend to compartmentalize our life. We think we can come to worship here on Friday or go to a church Sunday somewhere and worship the Lord and then Close that door, walk into family. Close that door, walk into business. Close that door, walk in. And we compartmentalize our life. And God says it doesn't work that way. I made you whole beings. Yes, you have different parts to you. You are body, soul, and spirit. Mind, will, and emotions make up your soul. You have different parts to you, but you all are knit together wonderfully in a unit. And what goes on in one part of you has a direct bearing on the other part. Doctors know that nowadays. They say that the highest percentage of illnesses among people, physical illnesses, have nothing to do with a physical problem. They are traceable directly to what goes on in the mind and the emotions. Because that affects our bodies. That's what Paul's saying here. Because you haven't cleared up the issues at the relational level, some of you are sick, some of you have even died. It has a direct bearing on us. And so he's saying, don't go ahead and practice this meal, this act of remembering Jesus, this act of worship, when there's other stuff that is sabotaging it. It doesn't work. As a matter of fact, it actually damages us to do so. That's what he's saying. In verse 29, in verse 27, he says, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. In verse 29 and 30, he adds, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. This is heavy stuff this morning, I realize. But we're about to celebrate this meal called the Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist, Mass. We're about to share in this meal of remembrance where we celebrate Jesus. But to participate without a proper understanding, without understanding the body of Christ, without understanding our relationship to the body of Christ, to do that, according to the Apostle Paul, without understanding is very unwise. The communion service is a time when we remember Jesus' death for our life. It's a time when we recall our free salvation because of His expensive sacrifice. It's a time when we partake of bread and wine because He partook of our filth and sin. It's a time when we who had nothing to offer now come to the table and feast richly because of His grace. It's a time to be grateful, extremely grateful, and overflowing with praise. That's what it's all about. But dear friends, we can't stop there. We can't just take and take and take. That destroys us. You ever taken a balloon and blown air into it? You get it pretty full? What happens if you just keep on blowing? It blows. Before you can put any more air into that balloon, you have to let some out. And in a sense, we're like that. It's not that God is short on His grace. He wants to lavish grace upon us. But we have a capacity. And if we only take in without ever letting out, we shortchange ourselves. We limit ourselves from being able to experience greater grace and more goodness from the Lord. And so He designed us to receive His grace richly and freely and then to pass it on. Then to give it away. Then to serve others, to pass it on. And when we do, then we enjoy the constant flow of His goodness. Communion is a time to drink deeply of God's grace, but also to express our gratitude to Jesus by the way we function as His body. Now let's bring it up to date, up to speed, and on location this morning. Is it possible that we who make up Mahdi Community Church are in any way like the ancient Corinthian church? I believe there are some similarities. Now, rather than compare our economic diversity or our dining habits, I'd like us to consider this morning the issue of ministry. In Mahdi Community Church, we do not conduct a love feast, per se, although I think that'd be a great idea sometimes, just to get together and eat and share a meal together. But we do have many, many other ministries that take place here at Mahdi Community Church. Last week's Fall Fair, for those of you who came, was kind of an exposure to a lot of what takes place here. on a weekly basis, monthly, perhaps annual, you got a picture of some of the stuff that happens. In addition to our three public worship services, this morning you probably know we already had another service at 8:30. We have another one Sunday night. In addition to those three services, we also have Friday School for All Ages, which I mentioned already, takes place every Friday morning at 9:45. We have Junior Church during the service, which will be starting soon. We have nurseries for the babies. We have a full range of children's ministries. There's a vast and growing youth ministry. There's Bible studies, there's discipleship groups, there's prayer groups. In addition to all that, there are committees that run the various areas of ministry here at Mahdi Community Church, including body life, outreach, finance, Christian education, embrace the needy, Mahdi Women's Guild, property, local ministries, leadership, and so much more. You know, actually, it sounds like quite a love feast. There's a lot that has been offered for people to come and partake of. And many people have brought their prepared gifts of love. They've given their time, their talents, their treasures to make this church family a continual love feast. You know, I have people regularly coming to me and saying, you know, we moved to Egypt thinking that we were basically going to have to put church on hold until we left. And we got here and discovered a church that offers us more than our wildest dreams. We're so blessed. There's a love feast going on. How many of you enjoy it? Good. Good. If you've ever walked onto the property of Mahdi Community Church and been glad that that building isn't crumbling and falling, if you're glad that these fans are blowing this morning and that the tent is in place, that there's a sound system to bring the sound to your ears, if you're glad that this place is green and clean, then you're glad that our property committee is there behind the scenes serving, 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 giving, planning, working. It doesn't just happen. They've been bringing something to the love feast that you and I partake of on a regular basis. If anybody who's here who has had children in VBS, did they enjoy it? Were they blessed? I had somebody catch me at the CAC the other day. I walked on campus and somebody from the community, they don't even attend our church, they call out Dave. And I said, yeah. And they said, my kid can't stop talking about VBS. He's always singing the songs. Impact. Didn't just happen. Your children have been blessed in Friday school. Any of you ever find Christ in Friday school or Sunday school? Anybody come to Christ during that medium? And not here, but anywhere? Some of you? Often children will find the Lord during that period of their life. Any of you have been blessed by the junior church? You get to enjoy and listen while somebody else is looking after your kids, or your kids are in the nurseries. If that's been a help to you, great. You know, what a feast our Christian education workers dish up every single week for all of the, you know, from nursery all the way through adults. If you're a parent here with a teenager, have you ever calculated the cost that you have been prevented because your child is walking with God? I tell you, I talk to parents all the time whose kids have gone off the skids, who are into this problem, into that problem, in addition to the thousands of dollars sometimes they have to pay to try and figure out what to do with the child, or bail them out of this, or bail them out of that. In addition to all the mental, emotional, relational anguish they've got in the home. The pain of that, you can't put a price tag on it. If your child is walking with God, if your child is desirous to live their life for the Lord, think of what God has spared you. Thank God for it. Have you partaken of the love feast? Do you thank God for the youth ministry? Pastor Amy, the interns, the many volunteers? Thank God for what they're doing. There's no greater joy than to see a young person who radiates with the love of Jesus Christ, who's committed to walking in wholeness. What a wonderful gift to the love feast. Have you ever come to a service and had your soul fed? Your body healed? Your spirit lifted? Your quest for God satisfied? Your question answered? Your life ministered to? Your heart encouraged? Anybody? Good, we got about six of you. Have you ever partaken of the love feast that is regularly offered here? If so, great! That's what it's all about. That's what God designed us to do, to freely dispense grace, mercy, love, truth, to give it away without price. That's what he wants the church to be. But Paul also said in verse 20 and 21, when you come together, now please note, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to visitors. He's not talking to people who are checking out Christianity or the Lord. He's not talking about people who are wondering what the church is about and maybe sitting here looking, examining, like some of you may be this morning. We're not talking to you. Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to those who've committed their lives to Jesus Christ, who've experienced His grace, who want to live out a life of gratitude, who joyfully and unashamedly proclaim themselves to be Christ's. If that's you this morning, then this is who he's talking to. He says to us, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for somebody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. In other words, some of you are underfed, malnourished. Others are overfed and underactive. Some are too busy serving others to even catch a bite for themselves. Basically, he says, this is not the way the church was meant to operate. God intended that every single part of His body be a functioning part. A ministering member. A contributor as well as a partaker. In a physical body, whenever one part quits functioning, you know it. The rest of your body is very quick to realize something's wrong. Debbie just showed me this morning in the office between services. She got her finger caught in the door. A little blue under the nail. She's going, oh, well, it kind of affects your whole body, doesn't it? Yeah, you told me about it. Isn't it amazing? A little blue mark. Oh, come on, it's just a blue mark, Debbie. No, a little mark on the finger. Burst blood vessel somewhere. Ah, it hurts. Ever got a bruised heel? Your whole body reacts to a little bruise on the heel. Every part of the body is important. And when one suffers, the Bible says, we all suffer. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one is out of sync, it throws the whole body off. And so it is with the body of Christ. And that's why at Mahdi Community Church, our aim, you ready for this? Our aim, our purpose, our goal, our focus is to have 100% involvement of every single one of God's people. Good morning. Not 60, which would be way beyond the odds. Not 70, not 80, not 90, not even 99. Our goal is to be biblical. Our goal is to have every true child of God active in ministry. Somewhere, doing something. Now, we're up against some pretty awful odds, I must admit. The reality in most churches, indeed in most organizations beyond the church, the reality is what is called the 80-20 rule. Some of you have heard about it. It goes like this. 20% of the people do 80% of the work in ministry. And the other 80% of the people pick up the last 20%. It translates across the board into finances. In almost every congregation that I've ever interacted with, this principle is very close to being true. 20% of the congregation give 80% of the money, and the other 80% of the congregation pick up the other 20%. You may say, well, that's because there's rich and there's... No. If everybody in the church made exactly the same thing, the principle holds true. It's a dynamic that seems to plague a group of people. There are those who, for whatever reasons, are more prone to get involved and be the 20%. They get in there, they bring the love feast, they serve, they want to do, they want to give, they want to see that food is in your mouth, they want to look after your needs. For whatever reason, God has motivated and brought them to that place of maturity. But there's a tendency in the part of most of us, myself included, all of us, to want to just take and run. To look down that buffet line and say, ooh, I'd sure like some of that stuff, and just go get it. And when I get there, forget totally about the people who are behind me, and just because I like it so much, I'll just take enough to satisfy me. That's our natural tendency. And that's what Paul is addressing here. He's saying that may be the way the world operates. And it may be the natural principle by which groups of people govern. But in my body, I don't want it to work that way. In my body, I want every part functioning. In my body, I want every child of God a minister. Everyone. And anything less than that is less than God's purpose for His church. Now, I hope you hear me. I know some people are saying, Pastor, this is the first Friday we're together at the beginning of a year. We got a whole bunch of new people. People visit. What are you doing? You're going to scare them away. If you're visiting here, if you're just checking us out, we're here to serve you. We're here to give to you. Please hear that. That's why we're here. But if you're here and God has called you, you're already His child, you know you're part of His church, you may or may not be an official member, but if you know God has called you here and you're part of this family, then God's Word doesn't just suggest. He demands. He requires of you to be an active part of His body. Now, why does He do that? Is it because He wants to rip you off? He wants to cramp your style? He wants to take away from you? No! The reason He requires it is because He knows it's the only way to bring you to wholeness. Why do I require every part of my body to function? Why, when I start to get a tire around after my summer, do I start doing sit-ups again? Why do I work out? Why do I make sure that every part of my body, to the best of my ability, is functioning? Why? Because when it doesn't function, my whole system goes down. It affects me emotionally, it affects me spiritually. And so I work as much as I have the power to do so to make sure that every part of my physical body is functioning. That's not to diminish it, it's to make it blessed. And that's why God requires the same thing of you and me as His body. He wants you blessed. He knows that when you experience His grace, drink deeply of it, and then let some out and give it on and pass it away, when He knows that you do that, He knows that you're going to be the blessed for it. He knows that you're going to be enriched, that your life is going to overflow. Just remember, all the balloon, if it stays inside a balloon, it gets stale. Have the interchange. In and out. Drink deeply of God's grace and pass it on. That's how He designed us. In verse 28, we're told a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And that is what we're going to do this morning. Before the elements are passed, I think we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine the realities of how we spend our time, our talents, our treasures. We need to ask ourselves honestly, are we among those who are gorging ourselves while others are going hungry? Have we brought anything to the table? Now, some would say, Pastor, there's some really, really poor people here. How can you expect them? You know, even a pinch of salt makes an amazing difference to a meal. Everybody can bring something. You may say, but I'm not sure I have anything to offer. Come and let us train you. We're here to assist, to nurture, to build you, to be all that God wants you to be. I get excited when I think about a church family where all those who know the Lord are ministering freely, overflowing with God's grace and goodness, touching the lives of those around them, not requiring anything of those who come to visit and check us out, but just to bless them. When you have a group of people doing that, whether it's your church of 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000, when you have a group of people who are committed to that kind of ministry, I can guarantee you one thing, friends. Not only are those people going to be the most alive, fun-filled, happy, joyful people on the face of the earth, but you are going to see the blessing of God like you never dreamed. Amen? You want to be that kind of church? That's what I lay before you at the beginning of the ministry year. But in order to do that, in order to be that, God calls every one of us. First, to drink and eat deeply of His grace. And secondly, to become active and do what He's calling us to do. And so before, like I say, before we pass the elements, well, actually I'm going to call those who are serving. Come on and prepare the table for us. And worship team, come. And while they're doing it, I'd like us to take a moment of quietness and ask the Lord to search our hearts. The Bible says we should examine ourselves. It's like going to get a physical at the doctor. I may not feel anything wrong, but if I know that I've got the beginning stages of some disease in my system, I'd like to have an early detection system, wouldn't you? I'd like to get it out of my system before it does any damage. And God says, examine yourself. If there's anything here that could prevent this damage taking place in your personal life or in the body of Christ, root it out. So let's ask the Lord in quietness to search our hearts, to find out what those things are. And then as the bread is passed, as the cup is passed later, we'll participate and share in remembering the Lord, not grudgingly, not with something against the people around us, but with free hearts ready to worship Him. I remind you that this is not the table of this particular church or any one denomination. It's the table of the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're following the patterns here, if you're willing to examine your heart and you want to worship the Lord, please participate with us and enjoy Him together.